It is great to be with you. Spring is sprung. I want to talk to you about 19th century. In the 1850s, the Sisters of Laredo, and Todd, no, this is not the name of a band, traveled from Kentucky to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, you've heard of nuns on the run? These were sisters on the move. Upon arrival in Santa Fe, they needed a place to worship, and so they commissioned the building of the Laredo Chapel. The construction took over 20 years, but once it was completed, they had a beautiful Gothic Revival-style church that was modeled after a design Louis IX commissioned his own church in Paris for. But they had a problem, guys. There was no way for them to access the choir loft. And that choir loft was 20 feet above the sanctuary. So what do you do when you have a problem in the a building problem in the 1800s? Naturally, you call a carpenter. So the good ladies summoned all the carpenters in the regions, and the best carpenters in all of New Mexico came, and they had the same conclusion. The space was too narrow to put in a staircase. So what was the recommendation? You've got to put in a ladder. Nuns on a ladder? I don't think so, right? So what did our good sisters do? They do what they do best. They prayed. But this wasn't any prayer, men. This was a novena. They committed to a novena. Does anyone know what that is? It was a 9-day prayer walk that they did, asking for special favor over their church. Now, according to the legend, and this is a legend, on the 9th and final day, their prayers were answered in the form of a man, now get this, who showed up on a donkey, this is true, or according to legend, out of the desert with some just basic tools, and he was looking for work. It's pretty crazy, right? All right. And guess what? The mysterious stranger offered to solve their problem. But he had one condition, that he be left alone in the chapel for 3 months. So with only his basic tools, this is what he did. He sat there and he built 2 helix shaped that went 360 degrees, and it was a really marvelous staircase. So the thing was, it didn't have a center pole, man. Now, most staircases you see have a support in the center. Guess what it also didn't have? It didn't have any handrails. Now, look at that. That is a thing of beauty, just a beautiful staircase. For the guys online, I encourage you to look it up, the Loretta Chapel stairs. Guess what? It's built with no nails, only with pegs. So, as mysterious as he arrived, this man disappeared without giving his name or even asking for compensation. Well, the nuns looked everywhere because they had to pay him. They had to thank him for solving their problem, but to no avail. So guess what? The stranger came, he completed his mission, and he left a finished work that we're still marveling about 150 years later. The nuns' prayers were answered. So mission impossible became mission completed. So this morning, we are going to look at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. I think we're all very familiar with it, but we're going to look at it in a new lens, a new context, so we can better understand how prayers are like a staircase that give us direct access to heaven. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And we're going to really focus our time this morning, guys, at the beginning of the prayer. Okay. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? So the first question that we need to ask ourselves is, and it is the Lord's Prayer, so who is speaking this prayer? Jesus, right? So why is Jesus teaching his disciples this prayer? It's pretty simple, guys. Jesus knew that prayer in its simplest form is authentic connection. But how we pray determines how we connect. So most of us are really familiar with this prayer, reciting it dozens, maybe even hundreds of times. But constant exposure to something can really diminish the power of that. Okay? So let's just think about it. These guys were all here in Atlanta, and most of us drive through Buckhead or Midtown almost every day, right? And as you drive, you're driving by these amazing skyscrapers, these buildings that are pretty marvelous if you think about of how they're built. But do you really think that much about them? Or do you just kind of cruise by? I think most of us are immune, except for maybe some of the real estate guys that want to send tenants in there to occupy them, but we're really immune to their magnitude, right? But somebody who's coming from South Georgia, and I've got a lot of friends from South Georgia, and South Georgia, the tallest building is probably only two or three stories. So somebody, when they come into the city, number one, they don't like driving in Buckhead. You know, they're going to probably be gripping the steering wheel pretty tight, but they are blown away with what they see. So as men, as we approach the Lord's Prayer, we need to be blown away with these words that Jesus gave us. You know, godly leaders, men who want to be godly leaders in our home and in the marketplace, we want to reorient ourselves with this prayer because Jesus used it to train his disciples and his closest friends, and there's a reason that he did it. All right? So let's start from the beginning. So how did Jesus teach us to address? Our Father. So when we pray, who are we addressing, right? We're approaching our Creator, right? The King of Kings, the Almighty. I mean, we are approaching God Almighty. But how does Jesus tell us to approach God? He doesn't teach us to approach him that way. He says, approach him first as Father, as Dad, as Father God. I know many earthly fathers are flawed. Guys, I only need to look at myself, and you can call both of my daughters to verify. So I understand that context can be sensitive for some of us. But Jesus is telling us, guys, you're looking at the superior Father. You're looking at the Father who is in heaven. So we're distinguishing who we are praying to. And by following this prayer model, we're starting our prayer addressing God as Abba, as Daddy. So who is loving and really can be trusted? Our posture can now be one of a son instead of a slave. Let that sink in, guys. You can approach God as a father, as an adopted son. So let that sink in because perspective changes everything. You know, if we're praying to a good, good father, how does that reorient your posture as you go to prayer? Okay, I want you to think about that. Next, Jesus teaches us, hallowed be thy name. So hallow, it's a pretty fancy word, right? But it is unique. There's not many words that can replace it in the English language. It is to revere because God is holy, holy, holy. God is sovereign, man, and he is set apart. He needs to be viewed in that lens as revered. So do you remember thinking that your dad was a superhero? Does anybody remember that growing up? Well, guess what? Our Heavenly Father is the ultimate superhero. And he holds us in his right hand because he is all powerful. So Jesus continues, thy kingdom come. So on the cross, Jesus looked at to the man on his right and said, today you will be in paradise with me. The kingdom, men, is paradise. But the kingdom is more than streets of gold. It is more than mansions that God and Jesus has gone to prepare for us. It is a place where sin and shame do not separate us. It is a place where we have honest togetherness with the Father, where we can be present with him in that true relationship with our Maker. In Psalm 84, David said, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Think about that. David, who is a man after God's own heart, he said to God, God, I'd rather spend one day in your presence than having 1,000 on earth. Because David realized that life is not about getting things from God. You know what he's saying? God, I just want you. David is telling God, if I don't get anything else in this life, but I have you, then guess what? I have everything. Next, guys, these are some of the hardest words in Scripture. Thy will be done. You ever nervous when you pray that? If you're really praying it and you're really surrendering, you should be. But notice that thy will comes before our daily bread. So you're saying, thy will be done, Father. We're asking before we ask what we need for our day. Tim Keller said, if you seek blessings before righteousness, you're going to get neither. So if we're honest with each other, this prayer is our worst nightmare as men, right? Because we have to completely surrender ourselves to another. In its original design, the Loretto staircase did not have a center pole for support. Isn't that the perfect image of our relationship with God? You know, God is asking us to come and walk with him, to light our path for our footsteps. But guys, what do when we decide to say yes to walk with God? You know, we choose to walk with him, but it's conditional because we're really still holding on to something, right? Holding on to things that give us security. In essence, we install handrails to our relationship with God. So the Loretto Chapel, which started out with no handrails, men came back in, and guess what they placed? Handrails, guys. So why? Because ultimately, we've got trust issues. If we didn't, we don't need any handrails, right? Because we stand on the rock. We stand on the sure foundation. But every man, we want to make sure that we're holding on to something. So the way to think about it, and this comes from All Pro Dad, for those who are young fathers, it's a pro tip. Follow it. It's a great daily devotional. And it said, being self-reliant masquerades as strength when it actually demonstrates weakness. It's pretty good. So my daughters and I listen to Christian artist Forrest Frank. Does anybody know him? So he's a young singer, really amazing. And so we listen to him on our way to school each morning. And I love this chorus that Forrest sings. He said, God has made me brand new. He tore the veil to let me through. So this is my response to you. Okay? God gave everything so that we could be together. He sacrificed his son. The veil was torn so we could be with him in honest togetherness. And so God has given us a new life when we say yes to Jesus. So the question becomes, what are you going to do with it? So giving to control to someone's heart. But I can promise you guys, when you do it, you're going to experience the most abundant life possible. So we're going to end our time in the Lord's Prayer with this. On earth as it is in heaven. And that's where we each get to come in and play a part. God does not want to limit his goodness and blessings to heaven. It's not reserved only for the kingdom. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve before sin and shame tore us apart. He is calling on us to help bring heaven down to earth, okay? And that's where the mission starts. How do we find togetherness on earth? Well, we've got to trust the Father and submit to him so that we can be sent out on mission to share the good news. So don't miss this. In order to be on mission or assignment, God needs us to be in alignment. Alignment, being in God's will, equals assignment. Okay? Being in alignment with God allows us to be ready for his next assignment. So godly leaders are men who chase and submit to God's own heart. So several times, my family has considered moving. I'm from Atlanta, but my wife's from Birmingham. Her parents live in Florida. Goes back to 2014, I looked, potentially moving for my career. I was in energy, and I was told if you're in energy, you've got to be in New York, Houston, or Denver. And I met with a wise man, Charlie Renfro, and he said, Andrew, that all sounds really good, but you've got an irreplaceable network in Atlanta. So I listened to those words, and I stayed here in Atlanta. I stayed planted, kept growing, kept coming here, kept linking shields with men at Friday morning. 2020, COVID, right? Everybody's world got blown up. I'm restless. I don't want to be sitting here, you know, sitting in Atlanta, sitting, you know, trapped up. And the beach in Florida looked really good where my in-laws were because, you know, you weren't having to shelter in place. You could be out on the beach. But I got a word from God. You know what that word was? Wait. So I waited. I was obedient. Both times I wanted to move because I'm a man, right? I wanted to get on the move. I wanted to go out, but I was obedient. But guess what? God recently told my family and I, go. And so now we are being obedient on that call to leave and leaving the comfortable to go into the uncomfortable, but knowing that we trust him and that we're being on mission for him. So he has a reason. And now that we're saying yes, every single door has miraculously opened. There is power and alignment. So rarely God will assignment from God. So rarely men will assignment for God be comfortable or effortless. But guess what? It is the most rewarding. We just need to look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? As a model of submitting our will. I don't think you've ever looked at it this way, but do you know the night in the garden that Jesus wrestled with God? Have you ever thought about that? He went time and time again to pray. And what was he doing? He was wrestling with God. Because what did Jesus say to God? What do we know that we find in Luke 22? He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Jesus was, you know, he knew what was coming. He was sweating tears of blood, man. And he was saying, hey, Father, if there's another way, take this from me. But how did Jesus end? He said, however, not my will, but your will must be done. Your will must be done. And Jesus surrendered. So I have a question for you and for me. Do I only pray, or do you only pray to serve your own needs? Or are you asking God where you can be used? What if God is calling you to build somebody a staircase? What if you're the man who's supposed to come out of the desert on a donkey? Right? So my friend, Larry Cooper, better known as Coop, who co-leads our West Side location at City of Refuge, recently told me something that changed the perspective of how I view employment. And Larry told me, he said, I'm employed by Marriott, but I work for God. How good is that, man? You know what? Perspective is important, isn't it? And guess what? Coop has internal perspective. He is viewing his marketplace, the Marriott, as his mission field. Think about that. He works for the Father. Marriott said, hey, slow your roll. You can't be talking to everybody. Coop just keeps doing it. So think about who you're truly working for. All right, we have three keys I want to lead us, that I want to wrap up our time with to finding alignment with God, because that's what we've been talking about this morning, men, to find alignment so we can be on mission. Number one, you've got to be available. Okay? Our founder, Chris Wright Sr., tells us that God is looking for men who are fat. Okay? He's looking for fat men. So don't get any ideas, guys. That doesn't mean you can lay on the couch and eat Doritos and not doing anything. He's not looking for that type of fat guy. He is looking for men that are faithful, available, and teachable. We think God is looking for ability, don't we, many times? But look through Scripture who he chose. He is seeking men who are willing to say, here I am, use me. Number two, consistency. Ron Rahlhauser said that there is only one non-negotiable role or rule for prayer. Does anybody know what it is? Show up. That's it. Show up regularly. That's the only rule in prayer. This means that you've got to be present in order to pray. So in Colossians 4:15, I want you to write this down and go and look at it. Colossians 4:15, Paul describes Epaphras. He said, he is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I don't know if Epaphras has mentioned any other point in Scripture, but if that's his only call out, what a great way to go down in Scripture. A man who is always wrestling in prayer for his friends. I love that. So we can't control outcomes, men. But you know what we can control? Our consistency. Number three, you got to have a servant heart. The key to mission and leadership is relationship, right? Jesus loved the person who was right in front of him. Jesus came to earth on mission. He only had 3 years, but he was never in a rush to go anywhere. He walked, and when people came up to him, he stood with them, and he was present. So I want us to ask God to give us a desire to serve others and not to look those that are right in front of us. I think a lot of us can think that mission has to be global when mission just needs to be local. So as my friend Glenn Jackson says, rock your radius. That's it, men. You just got to rock your radius. Rock the men that are in front of you, the women, your families, your colleagues, your friends, your neighbors. Rock your radius for Jesus. So our challenge this week is to be guys like South Georgia. I want us to approach the Lord's Prayer like we're coming into the city for the first time and really just looking at it in awe. And I've spent the last 10 days, men, writing out the Lord's Prayer in my own vernacular, my own language, my own voice. And I want you to do the same. Very simple. Instead of our Father, make it personal. My heavenly Dad. Hey, Dad. You can say hey to him. Hey, Father. Hey, Dad. Personalize it. Write it out using your own voice. So I want to let you in on a little secret. Not all of you might be dads, and some of you might, but remember how we talked about dads being superheroes? Guess what? Each one of you has a superpower. Do you know what that superpower is? It's prayer. And there's only one rule. Just show up. So don't be passive with your prayers, men. Prayers are not a commodity just to be flippantly thrown around. Prayers can transcend heaven to earth. So I want to bring up my friend, Larry Cooper, and we're going to finish with the Lord's Prayer. And I want to ask each of you to stand, and we're going to say it together as a congregation of men as we launch into our weekend. Coop, will you join me? All right, men. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive those our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and forever. Amen. All right. Thank you, man. Love you, brother.